Bill Allen with a hand clap and a big Calvary Cathedral International welcome.
Amen. Am I on? You may be seated. It's always a joy and a beyond words to express to be at Calvary and minister the Word of God, or sometimes just receive the Word of God. Pastor Bob Nichols, for over 35 years, has been my friend, along with being a friend to many, many other people. And he'll be here Sunday morning. Grab somebody by the hand and tell them that you're going to go with you. If they're not going to come with you, tell them they're going to buy your lunch. And you're not going to go to no hamburger joint. You know, find something that costs about $25 a meal, or they can come to church. Amen. Johnny, I want to tell you, and all the people in the choir and the musicians, I want to thank you for the extra time and effort to come before the Lord and minister to God's people. Many churches don't have that, okay? And I want to thank you for your commitment and dedication to this house and to my pastor. Amen. Charlie and his precious wife have been a real blessing to me. I always enjoy talking to him. If I am down, or if I feel discouraged, or if I feel frustrated or confused, when I get through talking to Charlie, I'm up. Isn't that good? I want you, while you're finding Psalms, the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, I'm going to ask the Lord to help us. And this lady went to her lawyer, and said, I want to file for a divorce. And the lawyer asked her, said, do you have grounds for divorce? She says, yeah, we have about a half an acre. The lawyer said, well, what's the problem? She said, well, we don't communicate. The lawyer said, do you have a garage? A grudge? And she said, no, we have a carport. The lawyer asked her, said, does he beat you up? She says, no, most mornings I get up before he gets up. How many know communication is very important? I'm going to ask you, I've sat in services like this, I want to ask you to keep your thought. If you try to wonder, don't, because I've got something that God has dealt with me on and has helped me tremendously. Every person in life has experienced it. Some of you may be going through it, and you will continually go through it. I want to talk about offense tonight. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law or thy word, and nothing, everybody say nothing, shall offend them. You want peace? You have to get ready, get to a place where you deal with offense. Now, offense comes to everybody. Saved, unsaved, no matter what your ethnical background is, no matter what your financial background is, offense comes to everybody. Just because you're saved doesn't mean offense won't come. A sign of maturity is what you do with offense. And in church, see, I was raised in church, so I know. I was a preacher's kid. And I know what people do when they get offended in church. If they don't get rid of it, they try to gather other people under their little wing. And when they gather them under their wing, if they can get them to agree with them and take their offense, then that makes them right. I mean, you can get a million people to agree with you, and that doesn't make you right. What makes you right is the Word of God, right? Nothing shall offend them. Now, this is how it works. Offense comes, and I nurse it. I put it in here, and I go over it. And then I rehearse it. And then I disperse it. Good. Now, let me tell you what the word offense means. It means to be caught or hurt or wounded. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing the word right or not, so let me just use South Texas language. Look it up in Greek, and it means a stick trap. It means a stick trap. Does anybody know what comes of the stick trap? Can anybody think of anything? How about a mouse trap? That little mouse, when you buy that trap, it has that little place where you put the cheese. Then it has that stick that you got to bring across over there and put it on. And man, when we did that as a kid, woo, we were very, very careful because it got your finger, it would hurt. Right? Now, it's designed to kill the mouse or the rat because over the history of mankind, rats and mice have carried disease that have wiped out whole nations, a lot of people. So, what the rat does, he smells that cheese and he goes for it. And when he goes for it, that trap comes down. It's a merciful death, but he's El Dedo. When you are offended, if you smell the cheese and go for it, you go for the offense, you go for it, you're caught. It will cripple you in your walk with God. It will cripple you in the house of God. It will cripple you in your marriage, and it will cripple you in your business, wherever you go. We have to get a hold of forgiveness. We have to grab a hold of it. As an act of my will, I choose not to hold any grudges. I choose not to take offense to anybody. Now, let me tell you, nowadays, there's a great statistic just in the state of Texas, and I don't remember the number, of people that have been killed because somebody got offended, and we call it road rage. Now, nowadays, you don't know who's carrying what. And you don't know what's going on with it. So if they pull in front of you, just let them pull in front of you. Don't take offense. Because most of the time, they're not going to beat you by 30 or 40 seconds at the most. What difference does it make? We have in San Antonio, and this is where I have a real problem. We come off of Interstate 10. And Interstate 10 comes from California, goes to Florida, Florida to California, and goes from San Antonio. And when I come out of my subdivision, I get on Interstate 10 and usually go anywhere. And we go up on the ramp. And when you go up on the ramp, you go to the left or you go to the right to get on 410. That's a loop around San Antonio. And 3:30 in the afternoon to about 6:30 in the afternoon, it's bumper to bumper for a mile and a half. You know that? You know about that? Y'all don't have that kind of traffic here? And it aggravates me beyond reason. If all those people would just pull in line 2 miles back where they're going to go, get in that line and just let the traffic flow. But what happens? These guys come up here and they pull right in front of you. That means I've got to throw on my brakes. The people behind got to throw on their brakes. And I... That's offensive to me. Where'd these people get their driver's license? State of Texas, all they want is the money. They'll give you one. You give them the money, they'll give you one. Right? And I asked the Lord, Lord, please help me. Because when I look at it and watch it, those people that do that, guess what? They're not going to beat me very much. Let them get in. Because now I've guarded my spirit. If you take offense, and everybody gets it, but your sign of maturity is when you don't hold on to it, you don't keep it. A sign of immaturity is that you get a hold of it, You nurse it, you rehearse it, and then you disperse it. And it tears up churches. It tears up marriages. I have two kinfolks that are in the grave right now. Died 20, 30 years before their time. Didn't need to die. But they could never come to the place where they could get rid of all of the offense that came to them, and they held on to it. They held on to it. And let me tell you something. Whether you believe it or not, look at me. Once I was young, I'm not old, but I'm older, and something happens. You're going to go. It's going to happen to you too. And if you don't get rid of it, guess what's going to happen? Nobody's going to want to be around you when you get old. I don't want to be around somebody that's griping, complaining, and finding fault and everything. Well, the building's too cold. The building's too hot. They sang too long. They sang too loud. Preacher preaches too long. Preacher hollers. He doesn't holler. He doesn't move around. He does move around. That's in the scope of eternity, that's nothing. Amen. The devil will try to keep you from receiving the Word of God. Listen, if you don't like my mannerism, close your eyes and hear. Offense is the greatest tool that the devil uses in the body of Christ and for everybody. You got to get rid of it. I choose not to be offended at you. I choose not to be offended. You know what? You may call me all kinds of names, but just because you call me that doesn't mean I'm that. If I take that offense, that means I give credit to you. And I mean the people, okay? If you don't think no more of me than that, I'm not going to give you any credit. I only give you credit if I let it bother me. And if you love me, you wouldn't do that. Right? Now, offense comes accidentally. It can accidentally happen. Have you ever walked into a building where there's a bunch of people together and they're talking, and the moment you walk in, all of a sudden they all look up and they all laugh. The punchline is hit. Oh, God Almighty. Oh, they're talking about me. That's pretty prideful. I don't have time because I've taken, up to this point right now, I've taken at least 8 hours at the church that I pastor going through this, and I'm only halfway through. I'm just giving you a nutshell. David had an offense against him that was accidental. I mean, it didn't happen. It was imaginary. You know the story about David, King David? He was promoted. Saul promoted him, promoted him, and promoted him. And on our trip to Israel, you know, two times I was there, we went up to that mountain and looked down there into that cave where David and Saul had their get together. And if Calvary Cathedral ever gets to go back, go with them. Because I'm going to go. Anyway, so David comes back, and Saul has promoted him. And all the women came out from all the cities, and they brought their instruments, and they began to sing. There's nothing like a woman singing. The only thing is you got to be sure of what she's singing. Right? They begin to sing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000. And Saul got offended. It was imaginary offense. David did not offend him. David had nothing to do with that. David was being obedient. David was doing what he was supposed to do. And all of a sudden, somebody in their imaginary mind got offended. That can happen to you. How mature are you when you're offended? You know, you can carry your Holy Bible. You got to get right here, you know. Holy Bible. But unless that word gets out of here into here, it doesn't change you. We're not changed by men trying to persuade me. We're changed by the Word of God, the power of God, the Holy Spirit of the living God, the Word of God getting inside and changing me. Not twisting your arm, not trying to get you doing, but when you come and you sit like this, you know, the Spirit of God is dealing with, and you know what? Next day or two, some of you are going to be tested, and you got to make up your mind. Am I smelling cheese? The trap's fixing to come down on me. And if it comes down on me, I'm caught. I'm unproductive. I'm wounded. I'm hurt. And let me tell you, if you don't get rid of offense, the next one builds. It's easier. The next one, and they build on top of each other. And pretty soon, you're offended at everybody and everything. Let me tell you something. It's not smart to get offended at God. If you're offended at God, it's because you don't have an understanding of Scripture. God's not putting sickness and disease on anybody to teach them anything. Where would he get it? There ought to be one case where Jesus went about and said, hey, I will tell you something. We're going to put a little tuberculosis on you to teach you something. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all that were sick and oppressed of God, the devil. See, people get offended because they don't understand the curse. Well, you know, God wanted another little angel in heaven, so he took my baby. If that happened to you, I don't mean to be offensive whatsoever. But let me tell you something. People don't become angels. People are people. Angels are angels. You break certain laws, you pay. God already said before the crime was committed, this is what's going to happen to you. If you break this law, this is going to happen. And it's under the curse. Did you know that for years, a couple of thousand years, God did not hold sin against people? God didn't hold sin against them. Why? Because there was no law. How many before the law of Moses came, murder was wrong as it is after the law came. But God didn't hold it against them. People get offended at God. Why? Because they're thinking, God's putting that on me. God's doing this to me. No, you live in a world, and if you apply the principles of God, the greatest thing you can do is follow God, ask God to help you guard your heart, get in the Word of God, get in a good church, and this is it right here, and follow God. Let people around you, they're going to sharpen you. There are more people they'll help you out. You get in a church, they'll help you out. Hello. The edges on you, they'll knock them off. People take offense and they're mad at God. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Been made a curse for me. I don't have to live under that curse. Now, I will admit that Satan comes immediately when the Word of God is sown in your heart to steal it out of your heart. On your way home, you can get in an argument with the steering wheel. And be offended. Satan immediately takes that. You know what? You look over at her and say, honey, I love you anyway. And you know, if you need to go to the grocery store, I know I got to get up early in the morning. But you know what? Just because I love you, I'm not going to take offense. We'll stop at the grocery store. You ladies had a golden opportunity to say amen. People get offended at God because they don't understand truth and grace. The church world gets mad at God about the grace of God. And I'm not talking about living any kind of way or whatsoever, because the New Testament teaches that God's going to write those laws on my mind and in my heart. And that little voice inside will speak to you, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. And if you keep doing it, that voice gets smaller and weaker and weaker, and after a while it doesn't talk to you no more. Yep. The world don't want truth. The system don't want truth. So people are offended at God. People are offended at God, you know, over all kinds of things. I want to tell you, the God that I serve, ever perfect. Everybody say perfect. And good gift comes from Him. Now in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer because you're going to overcome. It takes time. Anything that happens takes time. This planet is based on two things to operate. Everybody say two things. You come back next Wednesday night and I'll tell you what they are. How many want to know tonight? Words. Words carry death. They carry life. You can talk yourself in and under the curse. Now, nothing good ever happens to me. Bless God. We buy a car. We're going to get a lemon. Get ready for it. Next car you buy is going to be a lemon. If it's not one, it'll be the, you know, but down the line, it'll happen. I'll tell you, every time we get a little extra money, something always happens. We plan to go on vacation, and you know what? Something happens. There's a way out of that. Find out what God says. Give. God's got a way to bless you. If the seed leaves my hand, but it doesn't leave my life, it goes into my future, multiplied, and comes back to me. Well, it doesn't happen right now. Do you know anything that happens right now? It even takes a child, and some of them, it takes 15 years for them to grow up and develop, and some of them it takes 40 years, some in between. Some of them never grow up. Right? It takes time. People get offended at God. The world don't like truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth does what? Set you free. So I had to make a quality decision that when offense comes, my sign of maturity is to release that. Forgive those people, not hold it in my heart, not nurse it, not rehearse it, and don't disperse it. Let God reverse it. I don't get tired of, you know, just because you get a bunch of people on your side don't mean that you're right. Hell's going to be full of people that got on the wrong side. Now, they come imaginary. Some of them are accidentally. They just accidentally happen. Somebody says something, and it just accidentally. You didn't eat your oatmeal this morning, and you've kind of, all day long, you've kind of been griping and complaining, and you know, your sugar level's down, and you don't feel good. Somebody said something, you know, and accidentally, and you just, I mean, no, that's an accident. The moral of this story is eat breakfast. You still with me? Okay? Some of them are accidental. When the body of Christ really gets a hold of this, and God had to deal with me because I had a lot of offense. And I tell you, God, I don't want to hold that against them. But man, you know what? I'd see some of those people, and I'd see them in the store, and I could hear their voice. I'd see them over, and I saw them, you know what? I'd duck out over here. I'd get out, and I'd leave. Hey, man, I got as much right to be in that store as they have. I didn't do anything wrong. What? Why? Because I had to teach my spirit, because they offended me, that I choose to forgive them. And it's their problem, not mine. My problem doesn't belong to me, it belongs to them. Sometimes you can stop the momentum that's going to happen by repenting or going to people. And sometimes you never get it all stopped, but you can, some of it. Okay? Some of you have family reunions. Oh. What a disaster. You make up your mind before you go in there, I'm going to operate in love. I don't care what they say about me. I don't care what they bring up. And I had a couple, there was eight of us, and I was the oldest boy. Mama prayed for a little boy, and she said, God, give me a boy. She had three girls. Give me a boy, and I'll dedicate you and be a preacher. So they knew I was going to be a preacher. I didn't know I was going to be a preacher. And so, you know what they used to tell me? If I displayed any part of humanity, they said, oh, so you're a preacher. You're going to be a preacher. That's a big deal, isn't it? How many know that we have to submit to God just like you do? We don't get a free pass. And in fact, more than that, we're attacked, because if the devil can knock out a man of God, he can knock out a lot of people. Right. Fort Worth is full of people that took offense and are not in the house of God. They're mad at the preacher. They're mad at the congregation. They're mad at God. They're mad at everything. And they're out there by the thousands. They let the devil beat them out of life. Now, God has forgiven me my sins, and I must forgive myself. And I must learn how to forgive others. If God took my sins and put it in His sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against me no more, that's the least I can do is forgive myself. So, we nurse it, rehearse it, disperse it. It comes imaginary. It comes accidental. And then it comes on purpose. Now, some people just don't like you. Some people just don't like the God inside of you. Some people, when that anointing and that thing, that spirit that you've been recreated in His likeness, His image in your spirit, and that begins to, people get around that, and all of a sudden, you know what? They get convicted, and you know you're not going the way of the world. You don't operate like everybody else in the office or where the plant or wherever you're at or the neighborhood, and they don't like you. Why? Because it brings conviction to them, and they'll try to destroy you. They'll try to destroy your influence on purpose. They'll lie about you. Great liars go to church. I've known a few in my lifetime. Oh, Brother Odell, you mean, yeah. I had two of them at two different times. Can't help but like them. How many know a con person you have to like for them to con you? If you didn't like him, you wouldn't even let him have a place to con you, right? I've had to go to the Lord. Lord, as an act of my will, I choose not to take that offense. Because God's able to make all grace abound to me. I just keep my heart right. Keep worshiping you. Keep worshiping you, Lord. And I tell you what, just keep my hand to the plow and just keep going. And come one day you're in poverty. The next day, the blessings of God just open up and you're out. I mean, all of a sudden, God just pours out His blessings on you and things change. It don't happen overnight. But let me tell you something. Most of us couldn't handle the blessings that God has prepared for us because we're not mature enough to handle it. You don't give a 15-year-old kid a Chevrolet, what's that sports car? Corvette. I mean, no, that's destructive. Going to kill himself, going to kill his wife. Because he's built fast. He's not thinking what it's going to do. He's not thinking he can't make that curve down there. He's going to show out. Man, I got to do it. Yeah, and I'm going to get some kids in the car. I'm going to show, oh, man, I got this. You give him a four-cylinder. When you learn how to drive that, and you learn that a vehicle is to transfer you from one place to another, not to race on the highways and kill yourself and kill other people. How many know that that can come, but it comes with a maturity? That's the way God's blessings are for us. If God just, listen, God has blessings prepared for you beyond your wildest expectation. But you have to get to the place that, man, I take no offense. I smell cheese. I smell cheese. See, the offense is not the purpose. The offense has a purpose for it, and that's to cripple you, to get you caught into that trap. The offense comes for a reason. Because you'll walk with God like this the rest of your life. Crippled. And you get up in the morning and things are not like you want it to be at your home. Can you say, I love you? Let's say you say it. Say it like you mean it. Honey, I choose not to be offended. It's okay. It's okay. I'll stop by McDonald's. It's burnt. It's okay. I'm not mad. I'm not upset. Hey, guys, listen. A woman should never have to ask us to take the trash out. I didn't hear what she said. What'd she say? Oh, you know, it's my job. That's your job. Yeah. I smell cheese. Right? I smell cheese. Oh, Father God, I think it's acting my will. I choose not to be upset over this. Hallelujah. Listen, you've got a whole lot more to be grateful and thankful for than you can even imagine. You're better off than 96% of the people of the world. All of us tonight are going to have a place to sleep. And look like most of us are not missing too many meals. You skinny people. Lord, I choose not to be offended at the three ladies sitting on these first three seats over here, the first two. I love y'all anyway. One other thing real quick, and then I think I'll be through. Another thing that people get offended about God is that there's always somebody better than you are, always somebody greater than you are, always somebody can do it better than you can. Now, in my lifetime, I don't ever remember being offended at God, because I know God's not my problem. My problem is that I missed the mark, or God's got something else for me. And a year ago or so, God began to deal with me about a particular, and I'll share it with you, that keeps that offense down. This guy starts the same church about the year I start. This guy starts about the same time. This guy starts about the time. And they run 4,000 or 5,000. They run 4,000 or 5,000. I get up to 1,500, and then all of a sudden I'm down to 100, or, you know, and that's not fair. Is that fair? Is that fair? Because, listen, I'd like to be a musician. It's not in my genes. Is it fair that God would bless Johnny and not bless me? I'm offended at God. There's some things you can do and you can practice that you'll never get perfect, but you'll get better at. Okay? I've got a great nephew that lives in Austin. At 2 and a half years old. Get this. Nobody taught him. He picked up a book and started reading. Wow, it's right, man. I have a rough time reading. When I went to school, they put me behind the door and left me there for 4 or 5 years and put me there and passed me on. That's offensive. Right? Why should he be blessed and I'm not blessed? But you know what? There's things I can do that he can't do. If you start comparing yourself to somebody else, you're going to get offended. Now, you can be offended at me because at 95, look how good I look. Okay? Where's Scripture? What can counteract me? What can keep me from being offended because other people have talents and gifts and abilities that I don't have? Well, number one is that God programmed you before you was ever conceived. He knows and he has an assignment for you, and you can't compare yourself to somebody else. Don't do that. Paul says in the New Testament, just don't compare yourself to somebody else. You're unique in your own way. I'm not good with my hands. Man, somebody can take that little watch and take it apart and no, man, listen, it falls on the floor. Where are you? Oh, forget it. Go buy a new watch. Listen, when I was a kid, I was a preacher's kid, and I had to do one or two things. I've kind of always been 10 pounds, 15 pounds overweight, all, you know, as far as I can remember. And the preacher's kid, we couldn't hit the saints' kids because they might quit coming to church. Oh, man, I went through some junk. So I had to learn how to outrun people or out-talk them. And I can out-talk you because I can't outrun you. Don't compare yourself with one another. So let's look at it for a moment. Let's go back to the New Testament, because to every question about God, God has an answer. We just haven't found it. Right? God's a good God. God so loved the world that he gave. Gave what? His only begotten Son, that he might produce more sons. God is so good that he forgives me of all my trespasses and my sins. He makes me a new creature. He calls me his own. I belong to the body of Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Not talking about church membership. It's talking about believing in your heart, confessing your mouth, Jesus Christ, okay? So God began to deal with me. And thank God that over 102,000 people, the fame and the fire of this church has gone around the world. When I mention this church of people, So, we're crying out for revival, right? Well, in the New Testament, how many know they have revival in the New Testament? There's a guy by the name of Philip preaching a revival. Man, it broke out all over the city. Ah, great revival, a move of the Holy Spirit of the living God. I mean, people being saved, delivered, and set free. And God tells Philip, unplug. If God told me, and I'm in a citywide revival, a big revival, God tells me unplug, I can't hear you. That's what I've been praying for, man. People are getting saved and delivered, and things are happening. No, that can't be God. Philip unplugs from revival. Goes down and joins himself a eunuch and gets a eunuch saved. And now that takes the gospel to another nation. He didn't see all of that. So I can't be offended at God because people in my natural eyes seem like they're doing better than I am. I live in a city where there's at least three nationwide, worldwide, noted ministers that have large churches. God, that ain't right. I'm sitting over here. No. God began to deal with me obedience. I'm rewarded in heaven according to my obedience. Men judge at what they see with the eye. You can, if you have the capability and the ability and know-how, you can pack a building out. Getting people in a building is not successful. Because there's a place called Huntsville, Texas. And it's packed out. Right? It's full. It's full of people. My obedience is, if I'm obedient to God, God may tell me to come over here at Calvary and just on the parking lot or at the front door, just greet people and give them a smile and make them feel welcome and find out, what can I do to help? What can I do? Can I take a water to anybody? Can I wipe off the seats? What can I do? Can I have a guest speaker? Can we help him down the aisle? Can we help him out too? But anyway. I can't apologize for my humor. It just comes out. What am I going to be rewarded on? So you override and you get a lot of people coming and a lot of people. But if that's not your calling, that's not what God called you to do. How many know that people will be saved because of the anointing of God? But how many of you don't get any credit for it? You get credit for your obedience to God. And it may not look like to the natural eye, to the hearing, that you're successful. When I started, I always wanted to sit on the front seat. I always, you know, got to go shake hands with them. I'm like, oh, yeah. Now, I don't really care. Just let me be where the Holy Spirit of the living God is moving. If I'm on the back seat, on the front seat, sometimes you have to bring a towel. You know, you get that all over you. This kind of set of, you know. As long as the presence of God is there, you know, right? Your obedience. Don't be offended at God because you don't have the talent and you don't have things like other people have. They're going to give account of that. And till much is given, much is required. Sometimes it's good not to have too much, right? Not too much requirement, you know, from some of us, Now, I'm going to pray for you. And I guarantee you, most everybody in this building, before the end of the week, you're going to get a chance to smell cheese. What are you going to do with it? You going to bite it? That trap stick will come down on you. Chip! Do you think, and this is the pastor coming out in me, okay? And I don't mean to be harsh or mad or mean or anything. But do you think that people that get offended and try to get other people to take their offense and gather their little group and leave, you think that God can bless them? They're crippled. They're not going to go to heaven, but they can't get all the blessings that God has for them. God can't bless a mess. So when I'm obedient, that knocks out me trying to compare myself with anybody else or anything else. Okay, Philip, unplug with this citywide revival. Go down and minister to one God. One guy. God, come on. God, are you kidding me? Man, we've been praying for this revival for 20 years. I want you to do what I tell you to do. Because God knows something you don't know. Let's go over it very quickly. Offense comes to everybody. Everybody gets it. No matter who you are, rich, poor, saved, unsaved, offense comes. What you do with it, it's a sign of maturity. Most people nurses it. They rehearse it. And then they disperse it. It can come in your imaginary mind. Now, that's one area that I had to ask God to help me with. Because if you've ever been offended, you think everybody's after you. That's from the pits of hell. Man, I'll tell you one thing. All I got to do is get to Calvary. I know they love me up here. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. I tell somebody, when I get to Calvary, I'm somebody. They greet me at the back, and most of the greeters know me, and hey, good to see you. And Charlie, always good to see you. That's good. Right? That's the way you ought to do other people that come. Okay? It can come accidentally, and it can come on purpose. But remember, the offense is a trap. The offense is not the purpose. The purpose is to cripple you. And if you smell that cheese and you go for it, that trap's going to come down on you. Has the Spirit of God helped anybody tonight? It comes to everybody. But I'm not taking it no more. If they want to pull in front of me on Interstate 10 in San Antonio, just go ahead. Now, this is the attitude I used to have. Go ahead and have a wreck. And when I go by, I'm going to honk my horn. That's not the love of God. That's still offense, right? Before I turn the service back to Brother Charlie, I thank you for being here tonight. And remember, communication. Let the Spirit of God take what was said by the Spirit of God and penetrate into your heart. And remember, when you see me the next time, you're going to say, "That's the cheese preacher." Right? Can I ask you, before Brother Charlie comes, can I ask you for just a moment to stand and let me pray with you? And as an act of our will, we choose not to harbor or hold on to offense. If you've ever suffered great, great rejection, when you lose 450 people out of a church at one time, I took it so personally. I was offended. I told God, "I know you didn't do this, God, but you can take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more." And you know what he did? He laughed at me. "What's wrong with you, boy? You going to jump out of the frying pan into the fire? Just stay right where you are." Right? You know what? I've pray for those people. God, be merciful to them. Help them. My success in God doesn't depend on them. My success in God depends on my attitude toward God and God in me and being obedient to God. That's my success. Of course, it's hard on the flesh.
How do you go around that? What time? You know, I had 1,500 people. Now I have less than 100.
I mean, you know, most preachers, first thing they ask, how many people you run? What difference does that make? As long as you're doing the will of God. That's the wrong question to ask. The question you ought to be asking, is the Spirit of God moving in your house? Is it moving in your church? Moving in your people? Now, I'm going to pray for you then. I really am trying to close. That don't mean too much, but I'm working on it. Father, I come before you tonight, and I thank you that something that we've said, the anointed of the Holy Spirit of the living God will take and penetrate every heart. That there be communication in the spirit world about offense. And Lord, that when offense tries to come, people will remember one phrase. That smells like cheese to me. I'm not biting into that. That stick trap is going to flop on me and kill me, hurt me. I thank you, Lord, for Calvary. Lord, my words are so inadequate for what the pastor and Joy and this congregation and its leadership mean to me and its people. I thank you, Lord, that we choose from this night forward to mature when offense comes. We release it. Will you please say this with me, and then I'm through. Father God, as an act of my will, any offense that I've held in my heart, any grudges, any unforgiveness, anything that would keep my walk from you being perfect, I choose to give it to you tonight. Take it away. I choose to walk in love. My God is a good God, and all of His gifts are perfect to me. I will not be offended. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you for letting me come. God bless you. Be seated.
Well, let's thank God for the Word of God tonight. Amen. Give God praise one more time. Thank you, Pastor Odell Allen, for that Word tonight. I think that your text, that Scripture, is one of the greatest Scriptures to guard your heart against offense.